Things are warming up this month, aren't they? So I don't know if you've paid attention. I pay attention every Sunday morning when I get in my car. 2 weeks ago, it was 5 degrees. Last week, it was 12 degrees. This week, it was 38 degrees. And so next week, if you do your math, you should be wearing shorts and flip-flops next week. All right? So shorts and flip-flops. You heard it first here. Tim Wolf at United Church. It's going to be summer weather at the end of January. Maybe not. But either way, we're glad that you're joining us this morning here at United. United is all about helping people connect to God. That's why we're here. That's why we started this church just a couple months ago. And this time exists to help us to all be able to experience God together when we gather here at Owings Mills High School. Because I believe that God has a purpose for you. Whether you follow God now or whether you don't, it's no accident that you're here, that you're part of this experience, and that you're hearing this message this morning. And I believe more than anything that God wants to be in a relationship with you. This is the most important truth that we have to communicate at United Church. We're in this series called Crazy Busy, and in this life, this message can get pushed aside because of the clutter and busyness of life, and that's why we're doing this series, Crazy Busy. So if you've been with us for the last 2 weeks, we've been talking a lot about time management, prioritizing time, finding time, making time, and things like that, but I don't want you to confuse that for the purpose and the motive of this series. It's not about having good schedules and calendars and so forth. It's about being able to connect with God and have a meaningful relationship with Him. It's about the story of God. Because the fact is, God created this world and everything in it, and it was all good. Except you and I, we fell off the path and we were disconnected from God. But in His love for us, He came through Jesus Christ and taught us, and He died for us, and He invites us into a relationship with Himself. And it's through Jesus that we can have life, that we can have forgiveness and purpose. So you can walk away from this crazy busy series and be the most organized person in the world, but totally miss the message that this is all about. You know, so the point of this is that we can get our life back, not life handling us and handling our time, but us getting a handle on our time so that we can have a purposeful relationship with God or even take steps to discover what it means to have a relationship with God. That's the whole reason why United Church started just 3.5 months ago. So whether you're killing it in life right now with your schedule and you're crazy organized instead of crazy busy, or maybe you feel like life is scrambled eggs and you're just kind of like, you never get done what you want to get done, don't miss what God has for you in this series, Crazy Busy, to be able to connect with Him. You might be here for the first time this week and you're like, I have no idea what this series, Crazy Busy, is all about. Well, let me catch you up. And by way of reminder for those that have been with us, this will help us get on the same page together. Because in week one, what we talked about was this phrase, make time. And so make time. The bottom line of that week was stop saying you don't have the time and start admitting that you didn't make the time. Because the reality is that all of us are treated equally by time. We get 24 hours a day. And so the busiest person in the world, the most productive person, the best dad in the world, they're not better because they have more time. It's because they chose to say, I'm going to be a good dad and make time for my kids or make time for my job in this way. And that's why they're great at what they do. When we realize that we make time for things or don't make time for things, it forces us to be honest. So it sounds so much different saying, you know, I don't have time to get home for dinner versus I'm not making time to get home for dinner. And it starts to force change in our life. And so week two, then we looked at prime time. And that was figure out what you're supposed to do and prioritize your life around that. Thinking about what's the main priority of your life and making sure that's reflected on your calendar. And we talked about the importance of fixing some things on your schedule so that other things don't cause you to neglect the most important things in this life. And we talked about that in week two. So you can listen to those messages online. I'm not going to reteach them here, but we've been talking through this picture together. It's the Get Your Life Back strategy with these symbols. So some of you might be traumatized by seeing these symbols from math classes back in high school if you hate math. But we've been talking about this more in scheduling terms. What do you need to add to your schedule, take away from your schedule, decrease and increase in order to get your life back? And I've been sharing some stories personally about my life as a dad, as a husband, as a Christian and a friend, ways that I've needed to change some of the things in my schedule from 2017 to have a better start and rhythm in 2018. But the realization I've also had is I need to change some of my rhythms in work. So my work is United Church. I'm full-time lead pastor here at United Church. And so there's certain things that as a pastor that I feel called to do. And it's not just teach on a Sunday morning. But I want to help other people to lead and live the life that God has for them in the life of the local church. And so the church planting world in 2017 was quite a whirlwind for me. And now I feel like I'm getting my head above water again, breathing and getting into a stride where I can now focus on some of the things that I believe God's called me to do as a pastor. And that's to develop leaders and to see people lead better and live better as a result of coming into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so focusing some more time on staff. We're having interns that are starting in February. So we have a group of interns that we're going to announce in February. They're going to be serving and committing some time to United Church that I'm really excited for you to meet them and spending some time with them to help them grow in their relationship with God and leadership. And so Crazy Busy has been about making time and prioritizing time, not just personally, but even maybe some of your work priorities. And this week we're going to talk about find time, because a commonly asked question amongst most people is, where did the day go? Raise your hand if you ever got to the end of the day and you're like, where did the day go? Where'd time go today? Oh my goodness, I had this huge to-do list and I thought I was going to get all of it knocked out, and I get to the end of the day and I did one thing. Where did time go? And I'm going to give you one word this morning to get that time back, to find time. Because I think the busiest exec, the stay-at-home parent, the retired person, the student who's in high school or college or going back to school at the age of 50 or 60 is still asking that question as well. Where did the day go? It's a commonly asked question. But I think it's something that we struggle with that leaves us asking this question way too much. And that's distractions. Now, distractions is not the one word that's going to help you find time. But distractions is going to get us in the direction of where we need to go. Because I heard a statistic recently. It was from the 1990s, where the average person was exposed to more information in one day than a person 100 years earlier was exposed to in their entire lifetime. The result of living in our day and age, and that was 20 years ago before cell phones and instant access to anything you need or want through the internet. And now we have longer to-do lists and multitasking, more priorities than ever before. You know, catch this. Did you know that the word priority came into the English language in the 1400s? And for 500 years, the word priority was singular. It was never plural. And it was only until the 1900s, priorities means the one thing that's most important. And in the 1900s, it was when it became pluralized. And this author says this about priorities. He says, illogically, we've reasoned that by changing the word, we can bend reality. Somehow we would now be able to have multiple first things. I mean, how ridiculous is that? And so to think about, we have multiple priorities. And so with added information, multiple priorities, we don't get enough done because we're distracted all the time. I think we're one of the most distracted generations ever. And here's why. I've got a couple examples why I think we're distracted. One, does anybody here ever turn a TV on? Okay, so you kind of laugh and chuckle because, yes, all of us turn a TV and we see this TV guide. And so TV guides and channel changers or remote controllers for the TV has created a term called channel surfing. Has anybody here ever channel surfed before? Raise your hand if you're the channel surfer in your household. Raise your hand if you hate the channel surfers. So that's my wife and I'm the channel surfer. She's like, I'm not watching TV with you anymore because I hate when you channel surf. So it's been introduced and it's distracting. It's just, we're trying to watch more, you know, a couple shows at one time. I love watching three shows or three games at the same time. But not only TV guide, but then Netflix has come into existence. Does anybody here use Netflix at all? And so with the introduction of Netflix, you move from channel surfing to binge watching. So when you want to watch one episode and then there's a cliffhanger and you got to watch that next episode and that next episode, and before you know it, it's like 4 o'clock in the morning, you're like, I got to go to work in 2 hours. And so it distracts you from sleeping because you need sleep. And hopefully you don't need it this morning. There's coffee if you do, or my message might put you to sleep. So Netflix, but there's a term I've heard, Netflix adultery. Have you ever heard of Netflix adultery? It's when a couple agrees to watch a show together and one person, you know, watches the shows without that person. Don't do that. Like, especially if you're married. Like, I think the Bible even says don't do that as a married couple. Social media is another huge distraction today. Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever there is that you're using. You know, there's multiple profiles that some people have on different platforms. And you can spend like hours putting together the perfect post, that filter for that picture, hashtags. How many hashtags have who's here has used more than 20 hashtags for one post in the last week? So just coming up with hashtag after hashtag. I see a couple people looking it down, embarrassed. That's them. And so how long have you spent trying to put that perfect post together? I want to introduce you to the latest and greatest introduction person who's on Instagram right now. His name is Fitz. And so Fitz is the United Church mascot. And so Fitz is the dog of our community impact director, Leah. And so Leah and her husband, Ryan, got Fitz in the last month, and he has his own profile. So when Fitz posts, it's Fitz talking. It's not Leah talking. It's actually the voice of Fitz. And so about 5 hours later, this post was created by Leah for Fitz. No, I'm only joking. It wasn't 5 hours, but, you know, we're distracted. We can be distracted with lots of profiles. But you should follow Fitz because he probably has more likes than any of you and I on his account. It's an awesome person to follow. But social media can distract us. Your phones, our phones can distract us. There was a study in 2015 that showed that when people hear their phone ring and they can't answer it, that their blood pressure actually spikes, their pulse quickens, and their problem-solving skills decline. So I don't even need that to prove that. I know that that happens in my life to some degree. I mean, I remember when I first got a cell phone and synced it with email. I don't know if you remember that day that you did that, if you've done that yet, and you got like, and your phone was like buzzing all day long. You're like, why is my phone buzzing all day long? Because the push notifications for email are causing your phone to ring or buzz. And I wanted to go outside and throw my phone in the pond outside the office building where I worked at. I did not do that, but I realized real quickly that when you download a new app or something, it's automatically going to push notifications to your phone, so you have to turn it off. But we're distracted all the time because of our phone. We're distracted because of ourselves. You see, I can't tell you how many times I've heard the phrase, I've never been officially diagnosed with this, but I'm pretty sure I'm ADD. So I don't know if you've ever heard that before, and people really are ADD. They really do need medicine or support or help because of that. But a lot of us feel that way all the time because of the distracted nature of our world, because we're not disciplined, and we're just very capable of all being distracted. And the last distraction we face is people. A bunch of different people. You know, people want your time. Different types of people. Your boss, family, friends. And most of the times when they want your time, they're not asking you for help with your priorities. They're asking you for help with their priorities. Hey, can you help me move next Saturday? Or somebody at work knocks on the door, can you give me a hand with this? Or the neighbor texts you, can you give me a hand out back? Or the kids saying, hey, taxi driver, I need my next stop is down the street here with this friend. And you get called on over and over again by different people asking you for their priorities, but not to help you accomplish your priorities. See, one thing about getting things done is you have to take control and responsibility for your life and accomplish your priorities, because nobody else is going to. Nobody's going to help you accomplish your priorities. It's very rare. Nobody has ever, since the start of this church, emailed me saying, how's the message coming along? Now, probably this week, I'm going to get a ton of emails like that. Bunch of smart Alex. But most importantly, a few people even ask me how my relationship with God is. And it's not because the people in my life are insensitive or don't care. It's not because the people in your life are insensitive and don't care about your priorities. Just because we're all busy. We all want to live full lives. And you can even have a great system and a great plan, but people can mess it up. And it's not a bad thing. You know, so if you're an introvert thinking, yes, right, people mess it up, leave me alone. I'm not saying that. In fact, next month, we're going to tell you to create this distraction of people in your life through groups. We're going to start groups next month, and we're going to say, go get distracted with relationships with people that are following Jesus together. Because these relationships are a good thing, but when you combine relationships, yourself, technology, social media, TV, channel surfing, all these things, we are in an ADD world, and we are incredibly distracted. And the thing is, the vast majority of people react to these distractions. So instead of deciding what to do with your time, you let other people decide what to do with your time. And that's what we're getting at in this crazy busy series. Because you can wake up on a Saturday morning and have your to-do list together, and the first thing is yard work. And I'm speaking from the perspective of a man who's going to go out and get some yard work done in his backyard, and you realize there's a missing tool, and you got to run to the Home Depot to get that missing tool, and you realize on the way to the Home Depot that your tire's flat, so you need to stop at the Royal Farms to fill up your tire because it's flat. And so as you're filling up the tire, you smell the world's best fried chicken, right? So at Royal Farms, and you go in to help yourself to some fried chicken. As you're standing in line for fried chicken, a friend calls, hey, you want to come over and watch the game? He's like, sure, I'm going to come over and watch the game. So you're eating fried chicken on your friend's sofa watching the game, and your wife texts, where are you? And half of your Saturday is gone, like, oh my goodness, I was in the middle of that yard work, I got to get back home, and your day is gone, boom, just like that, because of all the distractions of this world. We didn't handle our time, instead time handled us. So here's the deal, this is your life, and you're supposed to live for the kingdom of God and things he's called you to do. And when we don't, days become weeks, and weeks become months, and months become years, and years become decades, and we'll look back on life thinking, what happened? I never got the to-do list of my life done. I never lived fully for God the way I thought I would. I never lived and accomplished these dreams that I had. It's because time handled me. You need a strategy. Last week, we introduced you to one strategy of priorities and fixing them in your calendar and not messing with them. And this week, I want to give you one word that's going to help you find that time that you lose throughout the day, that maybe you even lose throughout the week. And it's one word that we find from the life of Jesus Christ. So if you grab the Bible on your way in, you can open up that Bible to page 489. If you don't have that Bible, don't open that page because you might not land in the book of Luke. And so Luke is where we're going to be in, and it's the 9th chapter of Luke. And we're going to look at its time with Jesus, where we have seen him in this series be an insanely focused person. He was not distracted from the mission that he came to accomplish, which was to preach good news to people. And the reality of the life of Jesus is he had 3 years of ministry, and he accomplished more in his 3 years than you and I will ever accomplish in our entire lifetime. He was able to reconcile broken people to himself and to God as a result of his ministry. But he was never derailed. And there's another story about that that helps us see this word that is going to help us find time this morning. And it says, if you're in Luke 9, verse 51, we'll start there. And we have on the screen for you as well if you don't have a Bible in your hands. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. So we see the very beginning of this story right here. It says, as the time approached, week one, we talked about how Jesus says the time is short, the time is coming, the time is approaching. Jesus does talk about time a lot, and he often says that time is short. And so I need to make the most of the time and accomplish what the Father has sent me to do. But there's a new priority that's introduced here this morning that his disciples and his friends and followers knew about, that he was focused on getting to Jerusalem. It says he was resolute in getting to Jerusalem. There was going to be something that was going to happen in Jerusalem that his followers started to know about. And Jesus knew what it was going to be. He knew that his life was going to end violently. Imagine if you were on your way home and you knew at home your life would end violently. Don't you think you'd be a little distracted during that trip? That was Jesus' life. He knew he was going to Jerusalem, and he knew that people would take his life. Don't you think he was having a hard time being focused? He was, but it says he was resolute. He was resolute in getting to Jerusalem. Nothing was going to keep him from it. And his friends knew this was coming. He talked about it often. And as he goes, he makes his way through this Samaritan village here. And he's making his way to this village, and he says, I'm going to send messengers ahead to get things ready. I have no idea why, but I wonder if it's because he's eliminating distractions. Because he's so focused on the mission to preach and focused on the mission to get Jerusalem that the way he thinks through his life is ordered and thoughtful and intentional. So we get on with the story of him making his way to Jerusalem. It says, but the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. Now, why would the people in this town not welcome Jesus just because he was making his way to Jerusalem? Well, I think this can be illustrated from this commercial. That's one of my favorite commercials of the winter season. Is anybody here a football fan? You probably can relate to this commercial. I actually have it for you to experience it, to experience the tension that Jesus is experiencing as he goes on his way to Jerusalem through the Samaritan village. So if we could show this commercial, that would be great.
You cannot wear a Raiders jersey at my family's Christmas dinner.
That is awesome. So that is Jesus going through a Samaritan village on his way to Jerusalem, the awkward tension through rivals. And the reason that they were rivals, Jews that worshiped God in Jerusalem compared to Samaritans that worshiped God on another mountain called Mount Gilead, there was this debate over where to worship God. And it got so heated that they created two different factions of following God, and they were at odds with one another. And the tension was just like that. As Jesus walks through town, they didn't welcome him because of who he represented. They represent two different football teams. Well, they represent two different mountains, two different places to worship God. And so they don't welcome him. And look what Jesus' disciples decide to do or think they should do because of this. It says, when the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?" Let me read that again. Do you want us to call fire down? Like, how ridiculous is that? It's like, where's the red button? Let's go nuclear. Let's hit that button. And Jesus is like, "I don't think so." And it says, Jesus turned and he rebuked them, which is appropriate. And then he and his disciples went to another village. So they don't spend any time drawing up a peace treaty, trying to develop diplomatic relations between the Jews and the Samaritans. Nobody's got time for that. And he's set on getting to Jerusalem. Jesus is set. And you just see that over and over. So they move on. But there's three more opportunities for them to be distracted as they go to Jerusalem here. And it says, then in verse 57, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." But Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." I think Jesus was just being straightforward with this man that wanted to follow him, saying, "I'm not going to get into a long conversation with you about what it means to follow me. Here's the hard truth about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. You're going to be homeless and it's going to be hard. Do you want to follow me or not? Get on the train." And Jesus wasn't sitting around for a conversation in this moment. It's hard work. There's no benefits on this job. And he goes on to meet another man, and it says this other, and he says to this man, "Follow me." But this man replies to Jesus, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go proclaim the kingdom of God." See, this guy wants to come along, but he has to tie up some loose ends. He wants to go bury his father. So Jesus says, "Sure, take your time. I'll wait here for you." No, he doesn't. He's resolute on getting to Jerusalem. He's on a schedule. You might think, really? Jesus would do that? It seems kind of harsh that he wouldn't even let this man go bury his own father. What Jesus is saying, though, is that the most important work is to do what God has sent us to do. What is more important than family is what God has said. So what happens in this interaction is really awkward. It doesn't resolve. We don't know what happens. But Jesus is making a clear point that this is the priority for what I've called to do, and this is what I'm going to continue to pursue. And even a third time this happens where another guy says, "I will follow you, Lord. But first, let me go back and say goodbye to my family." So he's not looking to bury anybody who's just passed, but just say bye. Any mom or dad or son or daughter would want to go say bye. But Jesus says, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." And again, he's like, really? Would Jesus say that? What do you think Jesus is saying over and over again? Isn't it be natural for this guy to just want to say goodbye to his family? And his response isn't a lack of love for family, but again, it's just about priority. And Jesus was so hyper-focused about why he was here and what he came to do that he was focused on getting to Jerusalem to do it and being with the people he was called to share the good news with. Nothing was going to distract him. See, what Jesus has decided to do is the big theme of this whole Crazy Busy series. He decided how to use his time instead of letting other people decide for him. It's the big theme. And we need to do that as well. In each story, we see that Jesus doing over and over again. I'm in control. People will not dictate how I live my life. And as a result of his focus on this mission, he saved the entire world. He was able to reconcile all people to God through his life, death, and resurrection. But the word that we can look through these passages and even what we talked about last week that's implicit is a two-letter word. It's the word that we can find time with, and it's no. Jesus is repeatedly implicitly saying no. Let's call fire down. No. Let's work things out with the Samaritans. No. Wait here so I can bury my dad. No. Let me say goodbye to my family. No. Last week's story where people want to be healed by Jesus. The disciples say, come here. All these people are coming here to be healed. He's like, no. I didn't come to be a healer. I came to preach good news. And he moves on to another town. And over, Jesus is saying, just say no. And Jesus is saying no to good things. He's not saying like there's bad choices that he can make. Everything that Jesus is faced with is a good thing. And that's what we've seen over and over, is to stick to his priority. I don't know if you've ever heard of a company called Apple. Have you heard of that company before? So two people have. Apple's CEO, Tim Cook, says this about their company. We are the most focused company that I know of or have read of or have any knowledge of. We keep the amount of things we focus on very small in number so that we can put enormous energy behind the ones that we do choose. That means they say no to things. That means there's a lot of products that never make it because they say no, because they want to say yes to the best things. There's a lot of good things that I'm sure they're working on, but they say no to some. See, this morning, we need to learn how to say no in order to get our life back. It's an incredibly powerful word. You're thinking, well, it could also be a word that hurts people, hurts people's feelings, could be impolite. So here's the bottom line then. Just say no nicely, okay? There's a nice way to say no to people. You know, I moved this month last year is when my family and I moved into the Owings Mills, Reisterstown area to start a new church. It was the plan all along. And a part of coming to this community was trying to meet as many people as I could, to learn the community, to connect with people, and to see who would be interested in helping start a new church in this community. And so as we did that, I said yes to almost every opportunity. And my yes to meeting this person, or my yes to going to this meeting, or my yes to be involved in this opportunity was at the same time saying no to some things. And some of those no's were a date night with my wife, or a no going on a date with my kid, or a no being home for dinner with my family. See, when we say yes to so many things, we're also saying no to things. See, yes is a really powerful word, but no makes it more powerful. Because if you say yes to everything, you're not saying yes to anything important. So the bottom line this morning, to help us find time, is to say no to good things so that you're allowed then say yes to great things. Because the struggle for us isn't like struggles between good and bad opportunities. The struggle for all of us this morning here together is good and good. There might be five friends that we want to just deepen friendship with in the next year, but the reality, to be able to do that, we just don't have the time to do that effectively. And so do we have to choose one friend over another friend? And it's not like one friend is the evil friend and one friend is the good friend. Maybe it's clear for you that one friend is the good friend and one friend is the evil friend. But spend time with both of them. But how do we prioritize that? And I believe we need to do this at two levels, a micro level and a macro level. Micro meaning just like the small little things that happen in life. For instance, when a text comes, why do we have to check it that very second? The phone buzzes in my pocket. I'm grabbing lunch with a friend. Do I have to pull out my phone to look at it? Or will I distract myself and distract the conversation where I'll continue to engage 100% with that friend? Or quickly checking email throughout the day, and then I pull up not only email, but then the social media profile, and before I know it, I have 20 tabs on my computer, and I've forgotten what I was on the computer in the first place to do. And we're just distracted. It's micro-level things that we don't say no to, that we don't shut down those tabs, that we always pull out that phone when it rings. There was a policy when I was on staff at Community Christian Church as a church planner in residence in the past 2 years ago. There was a policy in their meeting culture where we don't look at phones. So you come to meetings and we're here to accomplish something together. So you keep your phone in your pocket or you keep it in your office. That was it. Now, if you were expecting to hear from somebody or something important, you would communicate that to the team that you were working with. And it was a great policy. Why? Because it helped us to say yes to the best thing, the thing that we were focused on doing at a micro level so that we can focus on the things on our to-do list. So you can say no to distractions. You can go home for dinner. Maybe you're grabbing dinner with a friend at home or maybe with your family and actually put your phone on your dresser in your bedroom or somewhere else where even when it beeps or buzzes or rings, you don't have to even know about it happening. and you can be fully engaged over a meal. You actually can say no. You could be at work, and or whether it's working on school project or working, and you can, instead of having your phone there or having everything pulled up on the internet and all these different tabs, close them down, close Messenger down, close social media down, close email down, and focus on one task. That's micro level. That helps us stay focused. That finds that time. Because when we say, where did the day go? I think it's just a lot of little things that we said yes to along the way. Instead of just saying no, to focus on that one thing. But this happens at a big level too, a big picture, macro, when we think about our priorities. It's like, hey, I want to be fully intentional about pursuing a relationship with God or investing more time with this friend, or I want to pass school this year. I want to get better grades. But when it's time to study for that big exam and friends are staying out late or binge watching a Netflix show, you say yes to those things instead of no. And so you don't get the grade that you wanted. And you wonder why. It's because you can't say no. Or parents that want better relationship with their kids. They're saying yes to this committee and that committee and running here or there and doing everything except for saying yes to their kids and no to other things. Maybe it's even a job offer that you just got. It's a great opportunity. But the opportunity happens on a Sunday morning. And think, wow, this is a great opportunity, but I would have to say no if I want to go to church on a Sunday morning, gather with God's people to hear teaching and be encouraged together. See, saying no gives you the opportunity to say yes to other things, to spend time with God, to connect with Him. See, what do you need to say no to this week? What are the things that are on your schedule that pop up throughout the week that you even know you can expect them are going to, they're going to happen this week? But you can say no to them. What do you need to start saying no to that you've been saying yes to? What do you need to say no to forever? It's just not good. It's not helping you pursue a relationship with God or connecting with other Christians or connecting with your family or friends. See, I want you to say yes to a relationship with God. That's why we started United Church, to be a part of God's family, to see people that aren't a part of God's family be a part of God's family, to see people who might be spiritually homeless and not connected to a church be able to come to a home and have a church that is their family. See, what saying no does is it makes your yes more powerful. And the most powerful yes any of us can say is to God. It's a yes to what God has through a church community, what God has for us in daily time spent with Him. And saying no to good things allows you to spend time with God and say yes to the greatest thing. That's our desire for every person here, is to have a huge yes for God. Maybe you need to make that step, and that's the first step for you, is to come into a relationship with God. Or maybe there's other steps for you to be baptized and say, I need to go public and say, I'm going to be baptized, identify myself with Jesus Christ, and take that step that Jesus told His followers to take, to repent of sin and be baptized. Is that the yes you need to make? Charles talked about growth path. You know, if you're journeying with United Church and wanting to continue to move forward and understand what it means to be part of this thing together, growth path is a great environment to continue to learn. And every week, we encourage you to say yes on a Connect card. You fill out a Connect card and there's different options there to plug in, to volunteer, to have a relationship with God, growth path, whatever it might be. You might have a yes that you could put on that Connect card. But I guarantee you have a yes this morning. But it might require you to say no to something. See, no is the strategy for a powerful yes. And I hope that you can figure that out. And I'm going to pray for you right now that God would give you clarity on that so you can, more than anything in the world, connect with Him. Let's pray.